to A Jungian and a Witch podcast. I'm your co-host, Molly, the queen behind Queen of Cups Apothecary and your resident witch. This is my dad, Steve, a Jungian analyst with over 30 years experience, a master's in divinity, and a myth expert. Join us as I get the Jungian perspective on a wide range of witchy topics. And welcome back. Today, Dad and I are talking about something a little bit more witchy. And actually, going forward, we are going to be having more witchy topics. Up to this point, the last 15 episodes, with the exception of the Sabbat series, I have been getting a foundation from Dad so that we have the terminology that we need to be able to discuss these witchy topics in the Jungian frame point. But with all we've gone through and all the stuff we've discussed, I think that we have this really, really nice baseline, and now we can go and move on to talking about some more witchy, esoteric, fun stuff. So today, Dad and I are talking about manifestation. And I really wanted to know the background of it and how it's been changed and modernized over time. I also am interested in the idea of synchronicity, which I know is a Jungian concept. I'm wondering if these two things are linked. So I hope you are as interested as I was to find this out, and I'll see you on the other side of our conversation. All right, Dad, here we are. Another week.
Another week, and enjoying the summer, right? It's good.
Yeah, it's nice and sunny today. It's been really hot the last few days, but I think it's going to be pretty nice today. So today I wanted to talk about manifestation. Very, very big in the witch community. We talk about it all the time. Every new moon, what are you manifesting? What are you manifesting? And I was looking into it, and like, first of all, the definitions are awful. You're going to hate those. But when I was looking more into the history and the background of it, what I found on the Jungian side was synchronicity.
Oh, okay.
So I know there's a whole book, which I haven't read, but I'm going to have to pick your brain about it. And I was thinking I would have you talk to us about synchronicity. But while we're doing that, I'm going to sort of find some threads that are similar and that correlate with the theories of manifestation. So I don't know if you know much about the manifestation side of things.
I know a little bit, and so then I do have one question. I mean, you're calling it manifestation as kind of a noun. What I've heard is the term manifesting.
Manifesting, yes.
So, but maybe that's a thing in the witch community that you use manifestation, but manifesting is what I hear.
Yes, I think they're used fairly synonymously.
Okay.
As far as the witch community is concerned. And I was looking up where did this, you know, theory come from? And it said the first time they used manifest was used was the term manifest destiny in 1845. And so that was when we were, you know, it was our God-given right? To go from one
Western expansion. Yes.
To go from one coast to the other. And so I find that really interesting that it's sort of gone through such a transition to be what it is now with our sort of new age ideas of being able to bring something into your life by calling it or visualizing it or using affirmations. And so the way that we use it is more about it's the act of bringing something, you know, tangible into your life through like spiritual practice or repetition, you know, which is through affirmations and repetition. And so then what came up was all that synchronicity stuff. So what I'm interested is to hear about synchronicity and to sort of try and put these links together as to Jung's maybe thoughts on our new age practices.
Oh, before I dive into synchronicity, just a little bit more on manifesting.
Sure.
The word is older than manifest destiny. That seems a
Okay.
very arbitrary line to draw
Line.
in the 1840s,
That's what
way,
Google
way
said.
before that. And then you would have to add that in terms of re religious systems, that I mean, the concept of asking for something in your life is ancient. I mean,
Right,
so that
prayer,
you talk about, the New Age practice, but it's based on ancient traditions. I mean, the Romans had prayer scripts and all kinds of little things where you roll the scroll and, in a little thing, and then you place it at the foot of the god in the temple, and it asks for something in your life. I mean, that's manifesting, right? I think. I mean, that's the same thing.
Cool.
So it certainly goes back to Roman times, sort of a personal request to the gods for something in your life. I mean, that goes way, way back. And then I'm trying to think in the Greek tradition, it links a little bit with divination. So that's not quite a personal request for your personal life, but divination is the reading of something, entrails, bones, tea leaves,
Cards, mirrors.
cards, mirrors. That goes all way, way back. So that is sort of a request to know
Information.
information about, I mean, typically the future, but really it's like the I Ching, which is older still, is knowing information about the quality of that moment of time. It's like, what is the nature of this moment? What is becoming? I mean, that's the I Ching, to get into the I Ching part, it is what is becoming in this moment. And so I think that's related to this New Age concept of manifesting.
It is, yeah, for sure.
And of course, that goes, I mean,
Way, way
the
back.
yeah. The I Ching is an outgrowth of Taoism. I mean, it is basic principle of Taoism, and then the idea that, the I Ching is, 64 hexagrams, right? Hexagrams, hexes, and six
Six.
lines, and you throw the yarrow sticks, or nowadays we throw the coins, heads or tails, and the three coins, and that gives you a number that is either an odd or an even number, and that's how you get the broken line or the unbroken line. And you throw it, and it's divination in the sense that you're at, but you always at, you ask a question, and then you do the throw. And then there's a little bit the idea that the more centered you can be, the more
The more
authentic you can
accurate.
be when you ask the question and when you throw, then yes, that the reading that results, one of the 64 hexagrams, is more in tune. So in that way, there's a little bit about tuning. So, yeah,
Yeah, I don't know much about I Ching, so it's nice to learn.
I mean, to call it New Age, I mean, it the way it's used now is very
Way
New
that it's
Age,
used now,
but
very pop,
it's
you know, and
but
they're like the
right.
laws of manifesting is something that comes up a lot, and that there is this like prescription form recipe that you have to follow. And for me, those always just kind of grip me, like they don't feel right, because it's like it's going to be different for everyone. But I the idea that the way that we're thinking about things, the way that we're, you know, trying to control our thoughts or change our thought patterns, having outcomes in real life, I mean, I think there is something tangible to that. So that's sort of where the background that I'm coming from. So for me, I have this book. I don't know what you think about it. It's called, from Louise Hay. It's called You Can Heal Your Life. I'm sure you've heard of it. And for
Oh, we
me,
used to sell that book in the bookstore. Yes,
I bet you did. And so I came across this book when I was in California. I had a wonderful therapist who told me to get this book, and she lent me her copy until I could get my own. And while she definitely gets into, I mean, there's some wild things towards the end that you know, the new age, guilt type of thing, where like, oh, you have cancer, and it's, you're thinking about things wrong, and that's why you have cancer, and like that's kind of awful to think about.
See that this gets dicey
It
very
does get dicey. It does get
fast. The
dicey
deeper
very, very fast.
yeah.
But to me, I do think that there is something about catching thought patterns and trying to help break negative thought patterns, because so the way she puts it is that the universe supports us totally in every thought we choose to think and believe. So basically, she goes on to say that when we think a thought, that our natural instincts, we will support that thought by like we're just more attuned into it. And it's that same thing where like if you think about like, oh, green cars, and then all of a sudden all you like you see green cars everywhere, right? It's that self vindicating, I'm forgetting the right word for it, but
Self referential.
self-referential, yeah, where you think something and you're like, oh, so like everybody hates me, and then you all of a sudden you have all these examples of where like, oh, well, this person said this and this person said this, and maybe they didn't even say it in a negative way. There was more of like that's what your body translated it to, and that's what your mind translated it to. And so for me, having that tool at its time when I am was coming out of a relationship with someone who's incredibly manipulative, and gaslighting me and terrible things. For me, catching those thought patterns and learning that I can change those thought patterns was really remarkable and sort of led me down this path where, realizing that you can change things in your life based on the way that you're thinking about things. So I'm
Have you
interested
heard
in.
the term a self-fulfilling prophecy?
Yes, I think that was kind of what I was looking for, the
Yeah,
self-fulfilling prophecy. Exactly.
that's right. And so, yeah, that's a psychological term, and that it is true, right? That if you think in a certain way, you're creating a self-fulfilling prophecy, and that you can change that and create another self-fulfilling prophecy that is different than the old one.
So now
And
everybody doesn't hate me, people love me, and then you start figuring out all the ways that people show that they love you instead.
so is that manifesting?
I think that is a core part of manifesting is the realizing of that of your thought patterns. And I think that's where meditation comes in as well, because taking time to like just witness your own thoughts is really important, because then you get to say, oh, wait a minute. Where did that come from? Right. And then you track it back and you're like, oh, like this person said this offhand thing to me 5 years ago, and now I hold it as a core belief of my identity. Like, but that's not true. And so then you can start uncoupling, which is a word that we use in my therapy a lot, uncoupling things, where you're saying, well, is that really true? And a lot of the times it's not really true,
It's not. And so now you've sort of moved into essentially the basis of cognitive behavioral therapy.
Well, yeah, I've been in cognitive behavioral therapy for a long time, Dad.
Well, and so that relates entirely to what we're talking about, right? Because cognitive behavioral therapy is based on the idea that there is a connection between cognition, as in your thoughts, and behaviors. And because it's a cognitive psychology, the idea is that the thoughts are behind behaviors. So if you have a behavior that is problematic, not helpful in your life, and you like, I need to change this behavior. Cognitive behavioral therapy will tell you to look for the thought that lies behind it.
Exactly.
Which is
Yeah.
what you just said, right? I mean, you look for it. And so let's say typically cognitive behavioral therapy has you look for irrational thoughts.
Which, yeah, and that's where the is it true thing comes in a lot for me, particularly.
That's
Yeah.
right. That's an irrational thought. Everybody hates me.
Yes.
Okay,
Exactly.
by definition,
Definition, yeah.
that's an irrational thought because
Yeah.
A, it's a global statement. Everybody,
Yeah,
and by
exactly.
definition, global statements cannot possibly be true. And then hates, then that's already, you could say, a cognitive bias.
Yeah.
And that's not true. So you identify the irrational thought, and then in CBT, you replace it with a rational thought.
Exactly. Yeah.
So the rational thought would be no, everybody doesn't hate me. And
In fact, there are people who love me,
there are
right?
people who love me. And that you, in general, in CBT, you write down the counter thought that you can't just
Right.
let those irrational thoughts go round and round and round because they never
Yes.
stop until you have some sort of ego strength to stop them and
Exactly.
interrupt them. And so that's where the affirmations and things come
Come
in
in. Yeah, for
because
sure.
you forget, like,
Exactly.
right, no, people love me. You
Right.
forget when you're stuck in the irrational thought, you forget the other. So that's why on the refrigerator, then like, oh
Right.
yes, oh yes, oh yes,
Right.
I remember now. I
Or like
remember now.
me, I set a reminder like once an hour, every hour from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. that said the affirmations for me. That was like, okay. Yeah, exactly. I'm in a place that is safe. I'm in a place where I'm loved, you know. And every hour I remind myself of these because you do, you get trapped in these thoughts. And so that's where for me personally, I got into affirmations, and then I realized that in a way this was spell work because I'm writing these affirmations down and then I am saying them, spelling them, saying them into the world over and over and over and over again until I believe them, and then they become true because I believe them. So like and again, that's that bias where the more you're looking for it, the more you see it, the more real it becomes to you.
Yes, getting dicey very
Getting
fast.
dicey. Okay. Well, we've talked
Be
about manifestation
well,
already.
let's
Want to
I
bring
mean
Jung
you
into this?
not yet. We're still at
Not
the
yet.
cognitive behavioral level. We can't
Okay.
even get to the deeper stuff because this is people have beliefs and change their beliefs and their irrational beliefs. And just because you believe it doesn't make it true. And so, where I come from, we call that a delusion.
A delusion. Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Which is a cognitive delusion, is about a thought that is unreal. And yet the person believes it entirely and then behaves and acts as if it were real. And that's a delusion.
I could see how that could get problematic if you're something like I'm the best person in the world or something, and then you start believing that and acting as if you were better than everybody else,
Or that
or
certain political parties are actually a child molesting cabal stealing children.
right,
People believe that, and it isn't true, and it's a
right.
delusion. But the more they reinforce their belief by being online with other people who are
Right, or saying
reinforcing their
echo
belief,
chambers. Yeah.
then it becomes real and it becomes true. And it manifests in their life, that delusional belief.
But you can still, yeah, it's there is the sad part is that I'm sure there are actors out there who are not eating children, probably, but you know, doing bad things to children. And
There are, see, well, what's the
so, 'cause
ration?
so there's always an when you're looking for it, you'll find it. That's the other part.
Every delusion has a hook.
Exactly.
And you say, see? No, look, it's right there.
Right there.
And
It's right there.
that proves that this is true.
But it's when you get to the universals, I think that is also the problem. It's when you get to those universals, because even if you do switch it from everybody hates me to everybody loves me, it's like, well, no, not everybody is going to love you all the time. There are going to be people that don't. And yeah, that's why you can't say all actors in Hollywood are eating children, because it's like, maybe there's one, but there's not.
And let's not name
I,
names about which one that might be.
Well, right.
Okay. Let's do one more concept before we get.
into okay.
So there's the concept of wish fulfillment.
Right.
Because
Right.
I wish something, it can
Yes.
come true. And then
Yes.
I have to actually wish it very hard, hard wishing,
Right.
not soft wishing. And if it doesn't come true, I was not w wishing hard enough.
Hard enough.
Now,
I
that's
think
dicey.
that also ties into the New Age guilt thing. Like, I didn't try hard enough, so the universe didn't believe me that I was ready for it or that I wanted it. Like, I feel like that
And
ties in there too.
so, I mean, developmentally, we say that children obviously practice wish fulfillment. I mean,
I want this. I want that.
and certain mythological figures in the culture that grant wishes,
Oh,
a certain
Santa Claus.
I wasn't a German solstice figure
Oh,
and
or
others and
Tooth Fairy.
others too
Easter Bunny.
when you wish upon a star does not matter where you are
Birthday candles.
make
Yeah,
a
one of those
wish
candles.
and now that gets closer I think to the witch community in that that is a spell. Let's say make a wish when you blow out.
When
There's a
sure.
ritual that is performed, and that within the context of this ritual, you can make a request, a wish.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. But I mean, again, then we come into sort of these rules that show up. And one of them in the more in the witch community is that it's called doing the work. So you have to do the work. So like if you do a job spell, right? You can't just like be like, okay, done, like lean back. You have to apply to the jobs and you have to put your resume out there. And so you have to do the work so that the universe can then provide it. You can't just be like, oh, I want to lose 50 pounds and then just sit on the couch and eat potato chips. Like you have to do the work that's involved.
Sure. So let's
So at least
say
there's that.
that is something about setting an intention
Well, yes, exactly.
and maybe having a thought to live your life more intentionally instead of just floating unintentionally through
Yeah.
everything.
Well,
And
and I think
just,
that's a difference between the wish and the intention,
yes,
right?
that in
So,
fact you can set intentions and
yes.
by keeping them top of mind, you work on the intention. Like, yes, my intention, I said a month ago, I'm going to work
Yeah.
on losing 50 pounds, and my
Right.
plan is XYZ
Exactly.
diet, and I'm following through on my intention. And the answer is that has a way of getting things done. So, within reason, I
That
mean,
within reason. Yeah, exactly.
sometimes things don't get done.
Well, and that's why there's a lot of things if you do like a love spell for a specific person, it's like very shunned upon. Like you're not supposed to mess with people's free will, quote unquote. And that like
Well,
if you want to do a love spell for a new love, that you have to be completely open to who that new love would be and not have a specific person in mind. So I think there's also, that's where these rules, I'm using air quotes, come in. But not everybody always follows the rules, right?
and then gets it into the wish fulfillment.
And then that gets into wish fulfillment. Yeah,
Right.
exactly, which is different than setting attention.
So, this thing about free will, right? I mean, a related concept is karma.
Karma.
And which is a very ancient idea, as you know. And you know that karma is something you bring into life. Maybe with astrology, you would say it's the nature of your chart that you bring that. And to wish to change your karma, see, it's like, or somebody else's karma, like you're messing with karma by wishing or trying to manifest something that is not in your karma. And I heard this once somewhere, and I like the phrase so much I put it in one of my novels. Don't mess with Captain Karma.
Don't mess with Captain Karma. Oh, I like that too.
Did you like that? First rule, don't, because when you try to mess with karma, as well, to make a mythological statement, well, or a Luke Skywalker statement, right? You are messing with forces you cannot possibly understand. And that's a prohibition against magic in that sense. You're messing with something that you cannot possibly understand, and that is dangerous to do that. And that's where this starts to get dicey.
It does. Well, and
And
I
I,
also, I think about that spiral, right? As we've talked about, growth as a spiral as well. That we're going around this spiral, and then, maybe we do something that offshoots us, and then it kind of brings us back into the spiral. Because you can't escape the spiral.
Captain Karma, right?
Captain Karma, right? Always brings us back. I forget what we were talking about last week, where
Well,
we always get brought back into our.
not always,
I mean.
but it's, yeah, this is, you would say, an aspect of individuation or the relationship between the ego and the self. And so that's another aspect of wish fulfillment, manifesting, things like that, is that who is doing the wishing? And it's the ego is doing the wish. I wish for this in my life. And what's, you're the ego. Like, of course you wish for that. Like, I wish, to be rich. Whatever I
Be a
wish.
billionaire, whatever it is,
And that's always from the ego's perspective. And then the self or the larger thing is not interested at all in that.
It's
And it's
not
like,
important.
actually, yeah, what you're here for is growth and development, and you're wishing for something that actually hurts you, takes away from your growth and development. And no, I'm going to protect you by not having that manifest in your life, because there's this other thing going on, and time is short, and you really should be doing the growth and development part. The ego is so insidious that it inserts itself into everything.
It does,
And
wants to rule the show.
that it is possible to have an intention from a deeper place.
You said impossible
No,
or possible?
it is possible
It is possible.
for the intention to come from a deeper place than just ego wish fulfillment. And but that's where meditation comes in. That's where you begin to experience or learn about that deeper place. And so I would say a little bit it needs to start with that, which, as we talked about, like when you are doing divination, again, the goal or to be centered, to actually be meditative in the deeper place when you throw. When you ask the question and when you throw, so that's helpful, because now we start to get maybe into synchronicity.
Halfway in, we're making it to synchronicity. All right, I'm interested to know now how this is going to line up. Now, is it synchronicity in that? So sometimes we talk about it like the phrase angel numbers, right? So you see like the same numbers over and over again. Or some people like you, every time I see this person, there's a crow, or like, you know, there's these like, is that what we're talking about with synchronicity? Or is there, does he have a different definition of what
no,
it means?
Those are examples, but I think it doesn't mean what people think it means.
Okay.
As usual with Jung, I mean,
yes.
Again, this is part of this, the way that Jung is absorbed into the culture. These words, all the words we've talked about, you know, shadow, shadow, anima, self, and synchronicity.
Ego.
I mean, everybody knows the word, the term synchronicity, and they don't seem, you know, to realize that Jung kind of invented the term.
Oh.
And so it has a very specific definition, which is synchronicity is the appearance in time of an inner and an outer fact. The appearance together in time of an inner and an outer fact. So there's the part about in time means
specific moment.
A specific moment, which is kind of a coincidence. I mean, so but not every coincidence is a synchronicity. But every synchronicity is a coincidence, together happening.
Happening. Okay.
That's the time part. So, for instance, the coincidence in the divination is the throw of the cards or the coins happens at the same moment in time as your question.
Oh, okay.
And then let's say, like, I mean, you tell me, right? Even if no one has a specific question, when you say, I want a reading or I'm doing a reading, it's like
there's an intention there. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't have people ask questions when I do readings.
Right. So it's,
yeah,
that's the question. I want a reading. Mm-hmm. Okay. In this moment in time, we do the outer thing.
Yes.
We pull the cards, we throw the coins. So then that's, now you start to see the inner and the outer.
And the outer, yeah. And so as we do the outer, the inner comes
As we
out.
Do the inner, the outer.
Mimics the inner?
Well, is in synchronicity.
Interesting. Okay.
They're together, the inner and the outer. So, I mean, there's a way you could say, well, then the outer is a manifesting of the inner.
Yeah, I can see that. Okay. Yeah.
Except for it to be really in synchronicity, then they are the same. They're no longer inner and outer. Mm-hmm. They are the same coincidence. They're in the same moment. Inner and outer together are synchronized. Which is a little bit like the microcosm and the macrocosm.
Yeah.
Being synchronized.
Mm-hmm.
So that's back a little bit to the tuning, you know, that we talked about.
Yeah, exactly.
Before, when they're in tune, they line up. The inner.
Makes sense. Yeah.
And the outer. So, for instance, I mean, Jung's famous example in the book is that he was with a patient and who said, I had this dream last night of this scarab beetle.
Right.
And, you know, I don't believe in this stuff. I mean, I don't know. I don't think, you know, dreams mean anything. And as they're talking, there's this bumping against the window, tap, 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 tap.
Oh, that's cool.
And Jung opens the window and reaches up and grabs the beetle in his hand.
He grabs it in his hand?
And he lays it in front of, yes, he does, lays it in front of the person and said, there is your beetle.
Whoa.
Okay, that's synchronicity,
that's
right?
That's crazy, though. That actually happened?
Yes, that actually happened.
I didn't realize he had kung fu reflexes over there.
Yeah, think about that. All right.
Is this old young or young young?
Middle.
Middle. I'm thinking about old young.
I don't know if he could do it when he's old. All right. Another example, right? No, it's not so strange or weird, and that there's a way in which synchronicity can happen at any moment, of course.
That's true.
When I was doing a dream group a long time ago, like six people, and then every week a person would present a dream, and we
Okay.
would talk
Talk
about it
about
as
it.
a group, but it can't be analysis. I really didn't want to go into a person's
Kind
life
of
or
other
things like that.
people.
Right. But this one night, a lady brings a dream in which she is in San Francisco, and she sees her grandfather who lived in San Francisco, and they walk out in the hills, you know what it's like in Northern California, and points to this rift in the ground, in the earth. And she knows in the dream that he's pointing to the San Andreas Fault. And
Pretty random for a dream,
her
And she's in
association,
Boston.
yes, she's in Boston, but her association was that in fact her grandfather did live through the 1906 earthquake in San Francisco. He was there.
That would make, makes sense.
Okay, we're in a dream group. Like,
What does
what am
this
I
mean?
going to do with this dream? And I'm like, well, so let's be symbolic. And everybody has fault lines in themselves. And so, the dream is you're getting a sort of ancestral figure to have you really look at your own fault lines.
That's a good one. I like,
So let's talk, about that.
I'll talk about our fault lines.
And I think we did. And then, not to pick on her personally, like everybody in the group, what are your fault lines? Stuff like that. Okay. It was over, like the group was over at 8:30 or something. I got home at 9 o'clock, and it happened to be, it was in October, the time of the World Series, and it happened to be the Bay Series between the Oakland Athletics and the San Francisco Giants in the World Series when they
The
play
Cali versus Cali one,
Cali
right?
versus Cali when they played each other. And I go and I turn on the television, and it's black. There's no picture. And the announcers are talking about, yes, all the lights are out in the stadium, and we have had this earthquake that
What?
has interrupted the game, and we can't even tell you if this game is going to continue, or I mean, nobody knows, and nothing's going to happen till the
Was
lights
that
come.
the big earthquake? Was it like
It
96
was.
or what?
It was.
Oh, that's crazy. So she had a dream about the fault, and then an earthquake happened.
See, okay, we left out the part about a causal, as in no, not causation. One
No.
thing does not cause the other.
Right.
Synchronicity is a causal.
At the
They are
same
the
time.
simultaneous happening at the same time, an inner event and the outer event. Now, you would say that the inner event was her dream, but remember, her dream was not that night when we were talking in the group. Her dream was
No.
previous.
Previously, yeah. You just happened to be talking about
And then
it
we
that
were
night.
talking about it, and then I go home, and there is, in fact, the biggest earthquake in the San Andreas Fault up
Whoa.
till now.
Wow.
Okay?
Wow.
That's
The
synchronicity, right?
synchronicity.
Like the beetle, but, and then again, so what is the meaning of synchronicity? I mean, that's what Jung gets to. It's. So, okay, this happens. What does it
Now
mean?
what? Yeah.
There would be a lot to talk about the co-currents of local consciousness and non-local consciousness is what I get to. That's a whole other discussion. What is non-local consciousness? It is the concept that consciousness does not reside in the brain or the ego. Consciousness is universal.
So is this the same as the collective unconscious, or is this different?
It is the deepest within the collective unconscious and goes far beyond, because
Okay.
consciousness is universal. And that there are certain experiences and certain dreams in which people actually have access to non-local consciousness, many kinds of experiences of non-local consciousness. And that would be part, I mean, in other words, this coincidence happening, happening together of a dream about the San Andreas Fault and earthquake of the San Andreas Fault, points to a knowledge of that goes far beyond a knowledge of which would be, see, non-local consciousness.
Consciousness. Interesting. Huh.
So that
So do most
is.
is that was that the theory that most prophetic dreams are coming from, this kind of global unconscious?
Or
Like
access.
people have better, there's people have better connections to it, that kind of thing.
I think that's highly controversial and needs a lot of
Okay.
research, and it's
Well, I'm just wondering
very,
if Jung ever said anything about,
very
I mean, you told me he
difficult to
grew up
know.
with a family of psychics.
Yes.
So did he believe that those people were more tapped into this global unconsciousness, or like initially he had written his paper about how they were delusional, right? So like in the end, what did he come up with?
So we've talked about the Kantian boundary,
Yes.
that no knowledge
Unknowable.
of the transcendent is possible because of our machinery can only go as far as it goes, and we're limited by our machinery. And by definition, non-local consciousness goes way beyond our machinery. So we don't know if it's is it the case that some people have something that more than other people. I mean, there's all you can say is examples and cases, and like
Yeah, exactly.
sometimes it appears so. Is it definitive? No. For instance, like one example of access to non-local consciousness is a thing called remote viewing.
Remote viewing. Is that a dream, like in a dream?
No.
You know?
As a very conscious practice that was funded by the United States military and the Russians for 30 years, in which you take a reader,
Okay.
you give
Put him
them
alone in a
an
month.
envelope, a sealed envelope with a question about information,
Okay.
and they sort of go into a meditative state and then they report what they saw.
Do they read the envelope or not?
Nope, they don't know
No.
it's in
So
the.
just blind talk about whatever comes up. How often was it connected?
A lot is the
A
answer.
lot? Oh,
That's why they did it. They would have them. They didn't know it, but they were viewing military bases in Russia, let us say,
Oh, wow.
or Russian satellites, or I mean. No, they didn't know. It was blind viewing, and then the protocol, at least in that program, in the military, was that actually it would be 10 different viewers
With the same envelope
with the same envelope, the same
in
question,
different
and
rooms.
yes, and
Okay.
they would each individually write down what they saw or the image that came, and then the director would collate the images, and
Yeah.
then like. The thing that helped the most is that the stuff that was very similar across
Right.
multiple people, not just one person. But anyway,
That's really cool.
get back to your question,
Yeah.
the researchers there in that program noticed that some people were really good at it, and that everybody could do it to some extent, but some people were really good at remote viewing.
Right.
So
Cool.
yes,
Well, it's just like meditation is a practice. Like the more you do it,
it is, and
like using a muscle.
some people are very good meditators and seem to have some kind of natural predisposition to be good meditators. Sure. I mean, there are obviously differences among people.
Makes sense.
So, is synchronicity manifesting in the New Age sense?
That was my question that we came into this with. So,
Well, and then
well, and
you,
not is it similar enough, you know?
from what I've just
Because,
told you,
okay.
what do you think?
Well, I'm definitely seeing some parallels. And not I think that manifestation is more intentional. I mean, and there is unconscious manifesting, which I think we have talked about with like you have an underlying thing and stuff keeps happening in your life and you don't know why. And it's because there's this underlying thing that you're not conscious of.
Correct.
But I do think that yeah, it's that the actual manifesting process, I think synchronicity could be part of that for sure. I do see that that ability to become more in tune with things would help people get clear on what they are wanting to manifest. And I think that's another thing that, you know, one of the rules of manifesting is you're supposed to get really clear on what it is that you want before you even start that. And I think sometimes that people do come across that with synchronicities. Like they didn't realize that they wanted something, but the universe kept sort of showing them it over and over and over again until they picked up on, like, oh, wait, no, I do really want this thing. So I feel like it could definitely be a part of that as well. And then I think also moments like that, where things happen at the same time, are definitely, I think people probably see them as pivotal points in their path as well. Because I think a lot of times we're unsure about where to go, and then something happens, like angel numbers, or you know, you see the every time you see a certain person, there's this animal that you love, and you know, you're like, oh man, maybe this really is something because these things keep happening over and over again. Or you have that one specific event, like you were saying with the fault, that event happens, and you're like, I am doing the right path, or I do actually want that thing that I thought I didn't want. So I don't think they're mutually exclusive, and I don't think they're the same thing, but I think that they can be assisting each other along the journey, along the path that we're taking.
I think that's very well said.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, that what they share, it has something to do with the inner and outer being in sync.
Well, I'm going to use an example of a reading I did.
Okay.
So I when I'm at markets, and I do readings at markets, and I often will do a free like one card pull with a purchase. It just gets people interested in it. And I had a woman who purchased something, and I did a card draw for her, and it was the Ace of Cups. And so aces are, you know, one, they're the beginning of the minor arcana. They're a new beginning. They tend to be seen as like yeses if you're asking a yes or no question. But you know, it's a general reading. I don't have people tell me something ahead of time. So I just said, you know, there's something, a new emotional beginning that you're starting, and you know, it's a new emotional journey. And you know, if you've been thinking about, you know, whether to go on this emotional journey or not, that the universe is saying yes to that. And you know, it's a lovely new beginning. It's a lovely card to get. And she's like, okay. And she leaves. Like an hour later, she comes back with no husband, no kid. And she's like, so I'm thinking about divorcing my husband. I wish you guys could see Dad's face right now. And so it's like, you know, Pat was like, did you get them divorced? And I'm like, no. I didn't do anything. I literally did not do anything. Right. That lived within her. That
Yes.
was there. That was there inside of her. And all I did was say that whatever, you know, a new emotional beginning you're thinking about, that the universe, you know, has your back and says yes to that. And she was like, oh, I'm gonna get divorced, right? And so it's like, again, that it's that the synchronicity, right? Because she had that, and she was just waiting to see that yes. She was waiting to see it. And the second it came up, she was like, bam, this is what it means. And so I feel like that, you know, that That's an example of that coming
That
up.
very good. I mean, it is, right? That again, the practice of divination is based on synchronicity. That
exactly
you, and then there's that syncing up of the inner and the outer in a specific moment in time.
Exactly.
And then that's the reading. The reading is the Ace of Cups.
Yes.
And you would say a little bit in there is some access to non-local consciousness through the act of divination.
Exactly.
That then produces a symbol. See, that's like the remote viewing. An image,
exactly.
And the Ace of Cups is the symbol.
Yes.
And it could have been any of the 52, right? I mean, it could have been anything. That's where the synchronicity comes in, is that out of all of that, the
that
symbol
the
that manifests, the symbol that manifests in that moment in time is that, and that it struck a chord with her.
Right. Something that intense with her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I also say when I'm doing readings that the cards never lie, because the cards mean what they mean, but what they bring up in each individual is completely unique to them. And that thing that they bring up is going to be true for you, no matter what the cards, you know, they mean what they mean. It's going to bring up in you something that is true, no matter what. So.
I think that's a great example, right? Because we have we have all the pieces. We have manifesting, and we have synchronicity, divination, the moment in time of the inner and the outer being in sync.
Coming together.
There it is.
There it is. Good example.
Yeah, and then so people say synchronicity is weird, or not really.
I feel like it goes back to that, you know, self-fulfilling thing. Like when you're looking for it, it'll be there.
See, the ego complicates everything.
Complicates things. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Let's say, can you wish yourself to have a synchronicity?
Oh.
People are like, show me a sign. Yes,
show me a sign.
I am setting an intention that this afternoon I will see a sign. I will have a synchronicity.
But you can also you can get a reading. I mean, you can set yourself up to be in a situation where synchronicities can happen.
Well, which is the practice of divination, for instance.
Exactly.
You're setting yourself up in a situation in which you're creating a synchronicity. And then, you know, we mentioned remote viewing. I mean, that's right. You're setting yourself up in a situation in which there can very well, it will produce an image.
Right, exactly.
Which is
so
symbolic. And there you are. So you did.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yes, I have to go to work today and I'm going to have, you know, a synchronicity because it's my job to have synchronicity.
Yeah, well, exactly. As a card reader, an astrology reader, that's exactly what happens. But, you know, there's also that because people come to me at a point where they are looking for something like that. So I feel like it happens more often
because they're
looking for it.
Very ancient people have always come looking for it to a
wise person,
particular practitioner who, and in general, right, it's not something they made up all by themselves. There's a tradition of reading the bones. There's a tradition of reading the tea leaves. There's a tradition of the cards.
Exactly.
There's a tradition about how to read the hexagrams.
Oh, the I Ching, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not weird. It's not weird or it is outside of the scientific worldview, which I mean I should say that, you know.
Well, yeah, because in their nature they're not recreationable, right? Because in science you want to have a repeatable thing, and you can't do that with synchronicities
because it's a causal.
Yes, exactly.
Outside of cause. And no, the modern materialistic worldview is there is nothing that is not causal. Everything is caused by something every must be.
Everything,
That's the
right.
arrow of time. The entire universe. You, if you keep going and going, back and back and back, you find the cause, the cause, the cause, except when you get all the way back. And what caused the Big Bang?
Yeah, that's the big question, isn't it?
Oh.
Right?
Right.
We don't know that.
But even though this is ancient, then it's outside, you know, the modern scientific worldview. But I think we're in the time when that worldview is being less and less successful in explaining the world. Because it leaves out half, this whole other half of experience.
That's right.
Yeah. Because these experiences you and I are talking about are universal. I mean, all people have these experiences. And then to say, well, they don't, or they have a delusion.
Or that it doesn't mean anything.
It's meaningless. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's not working. That's not working anymore.
Well, I love that. I think that's a great place to end, Dad. I appreciate you talking to me about this and giving me some more light on synchronicity. I'm going to have to borrow your book so I can read it.
Sure. I would love for anybody.
You're terrible at letting me borrow books, though.
I would love for anybody to read my book. You know, so few. Okay.
Aww. Well, bye, Dad. We'll be back with another topic next week. Bye, everybody.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed our conversation about manifestation and synchronicity. I found it to be really enlightening and helped me do some framework around our modern manifesting ways. As always, if you have any questions, feel free to email us at ajungianandawitch@gmail.com, or you can head over to our website, ajungianandawitch.com. For more from me, head to queenofcupsapothecary.com, and for more from Dad, head over to History of Ideas on YouTube. Well, thanks again so much. We will be back next week with another topic. If you have any topics you'd like to hear from us, shoot us an email. Again, that's ajungianandawitch@gmail.com.